Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Lamed Gimel. We left off on daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. We are four lines from the bottom of the page. Rava Bar Sharshum Nafak Alei Kala. Today's show is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, Alan Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Alei Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. So the first thing we're going to discuss is the Gemara is going to bring a story that relates to Miga, where a person had a particular piece of property that he was benefiting from, and his story was that he was really owed money from somewhere else, and he was using this. It was sort of like an Ovid Inish Dino Lenafshei kind of thing, where he decided that he was going to use this piece of property that he otherwise had to be able to get paid back for some other item that he was owed. Then the Gemara is going to bring a Maisa relating to Yerusha, that someone had decided to leave over a piece of property for a Karov, and there was a dispute as to who was the greatest Karov. So then one of the parties ultimately was Moda, and then the Gemara is going to go back into discussions of Chazakos, that different cases where we have Chazakos on Karka, and three different stories relating to Chazakos on Karka. So let's begin at four lines from the bottom of the page, Rava Bar Sharshum, on the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis. So says the Gemara, Rava Bar Sharshum Nafag Le'Kala Deka'achil Ara Diyasmi. There was a rumor that went around that Rava Bar Sharshum was benefiting from, was using the Karka that belonged to Yisomim, meaning the point is that the Kol was the Rashbam writes it was a call of Edus Emes, and which means that they were able to verify that this call was in fact true. The Ritva says otherwise. He said no, it was a call Havara Bialma, but this was the call that he was benefiting from Karka Shel Yisomim. If you look at the bottom Tosfos points out Pirish Yotza Kol Shu Shel Yisomim. The call was about the fact that it was Shel Yisomim. There was no doubt that he was using this karka. The question is, was it his or was it not his? So the kol went out that it was not, that it had belonged to Yisomim. Aval ein lefarish tiyotza kol demitchilo hayo shalaviyam. Aval akshav lo yodin. No, the kol could not have been that originally had belonged to the fathers of these Yisomim. But right now they didn't know. Dim kenav matzil meimer lekuchi biyadi. Because then he could have just claimed that he had purchased it. So no, the kol was that it still belonged to Yisomim, as he was benefiting from this karka. So Abaye said to Rava Bar Sharshum, Emily, easy, gufadufda, hechiava. Maybe you could tell me, my dear friend, what exactly is going on over here? How do you end up with this karka that seems to belong to Yisomim? Now, it doesn't mention anywhere how Abaye inserted himself into this case. The Gemara doesn't say that the Yisomim were toveya him to a din Torah in front of Abaye, and that Abaye was the dayan. You know, it doesn't say asul kameda Abaye. It's just that Omer Le Abaye said something to him. So the Ramban quotes Yesh Mefarshim that they were not Toveya him to a din in front of Abaye. It was just an Eitz Tova. Abaye, as a friend, was telling Rav Bar Sharshim, look, you're an Adam Gadol. It's not right for you to have such rumors going on about you that you're using karka that doesn't belong to you, that belongs to Yisomim. You need to do something about this. Let's talk it through. What exactly is the story over here? The Meiri says, no, Pashtos is someone who was Toveya him to a din Torah, and this was in the context of a din Torah that Abaye was saying this to him. But anyway, so Abaye says to him, tell me what happened. So Amalei, Rav Bar Sharshum says, here's what happened. Arab Mashkonta v'nekitna me'avon diyasmi. I took this karka from the father of these Yisomim as a mashkon. And while the father was alive, this part the Rashbam adds in, while the father was alive, I already used it for 3 years. I already had shnei chazaka while the father was still alive. That's how the Rashbam learns this line. The Rimigash says, no, no, if he would have had 3 years, b'chaye av, he could have said the kuchi biyadi, and he would have been neman. No, it must be that he only had the chazaka after misa sa'av, and since there was a call that the karka belonged to Yisomim, so the chazaka doesn't work, because you can't be machzik b'nichsei katan. So it must be something like that, the Rimigash says, unlike the Rashbam. Now, so he's claiming he took this as a mashkon originally from the father. The Rishonim point out, the Ritva points out, it must have been a mashkanta desura. Mashkanta desura means means that it's not just a collateral I'm going to hang on to, and then when you pay me back, I'll give you back the mashkon. Mashkanta d'sura is I'm taking the business or the property. I'm going to use whatever profits I'm able to get from that business or that property to pay off the debt that you owe me. And as soon as it's all paid up, then I'll give you back your property or business. So instead of you ever having to pay me, I'll just take your property, I'll get the profits from it, and those profits will pay off your debt. So he took this as a mashkanta desura from the father. The havali, and in addition to this chov that I took this mashkon on, I also had zuzi achrina gabe. The father owed me other money, meaning we dealt with each other in business in a number of different contexts. So as these things happen, there are a number of chovos that he had toward me. So he owed me money from somewhere else as well. V'achalta shnei mashkanta. And after I finished the mashkon of the original chov, meaning it was a mashkanta desura. So after I already withdrew enough profits to pay for the original chov, Amina, I said to myself, if I'm going to just say straight up that here's the karka back because my mashkanta desura is over, but you should know that your father still owes me money, and I'm going to have a whole separate din Torah about the other money that he owes me. So I know what the rule is. The rule is, if I ever want to get paid back for that other money, you ever want to get paid back from Nichsei Yisomim, you can only get paid with a Shavua. And I'm not interested in taking a Shavua. And even with the Shavua, the Rishonim point out, it would not have been so simple. Tosus points out, even with the Shavua, you have to wait till the Yisomim become Gedolim. The Chigad Liasmi is the Lashon the Gemara uses. And, but that's not what Tosus says. What bothered him most was not that he was going to have to wait, but what bothered him most, so he doesn't even mention that part, he just says the Shavua part, because what bothered him most is that he was going to have to take a Shavua. The Rush, in one of his interpretation, writes that the Shavua, he would not have been able to, even if he would be Neman with Amigo, he would have to take a Shavua on that as well. So his real meaning, the Shavua was going to happen one way or the other, the Rush says. His primary Kavana was to benefit from the time differential, that if I return the Karka back to the Yisomim, so then not only am I going to have to take a Shavua, I'm going to have to wait till they're Gedolim. If I don't return the Karka back to the Yisomim, I may have to take a Shavua for the Migo Taina that I'm going to have, but I won't have to wait until they're Gedolim. So those are the two interpretations in Rishonim, what his primary motivation was in not returning the Karka back to the Yisomim, and instead continuing to use it as payment for the secondary chov. Either it was to save himself from a Shavua, or maybe he was going to have to take a Shavua. Regardless, it was to save himself from the extra time. So in order to avoid having, to take a Shavua, what I decided to do is, I'll hide the shtar mashkon, the shtar that says this karka was a mashkon. I'll continue to benefit from the karka until I'm able to withdraw, until I'm able to get out of this karka the amount of money that he owes me. So therefore, even if the yisomim are going to be tovea that I should return the payros that I already ate, I'll tell them that these payros were in exchange for a second chov that your father owed me, and Bezin is going to believe me even without a shvua with amigo. Demigo di beina amina lekuchi biadi me'emneina. Since I could have said that it was that I had purchased this property from the father, and I'd be believed that it's mine even without a shtar and without a shvua, because after all I had 3 years of chazaka, and let's assume, like the Rosh Rambam said, 3 years of chazaka bechaye ha'av. I am already muchzak in this karka. So ke amina disli zuzi gabaychu me'emneina. So when I say that your father owed me a second chov, that there was more money that he owed me, so I'm to be believed with that migo. So I figured this was my best play. This was the best way that I would be able to make things turn out. Now there is a machlokas we're going to have much later in the Masechta, all the way at the end of the Masechta, and Davkufa and Dalit, a machlokas amuroim between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Rav Shua, why it is that you cannot get paid back from Nichsei Yisomim Katanim. Why is it that when Yisomim are Katanim, you can't get paid back a chov from them? According to Rav Papa, it's because Priyas Balchov mitzvah, and Yisomim are lav b'nei mitzvah, meaning if they're under bar mitzvah, it means that they're not b'nei mitzvah, they're not chayiv in doing mitzvos. So even though there's a mitzvah to pay back a chov, and therefore if you owe money to somebody, you got to perform that mitzvah. If you're a katan, you don't have to perform that mitzvah because you're pater from all mitzvahs. So you can't be kofah them to do this mitzvah. They could choose to do it, but you can't be kofah them to do this mitzvah. That is Rav Papa. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua says no. The reason is because we're concerned that maybe the father did pay it back. Maybe he gave you some metaltalin in exchange for the chov almanas that you'll use that metaltalin as payment for the chov, and then you're not going to go and collect from the yisomim. So you'll hide the metaltalin. No one will ever know that happened, and then you'll collect a second time from the yisomim, and the yisomim aren't going to be any the wiser because they're a bunch of little kids. What are they going to know? So that's what Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua says, that why it is that you're not allowed to pay, you're not allowed to get paid from nichsei yisomim. So Tosos over here in the top Tosos points out that Rav Bar Sharsha must have held like Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, and that's why, since he knew on his own that the father didn't give him any metaltalim, so he felt he could force their hand in this way, that he could use his karka to get paid back. But if the reason you're not allowed to get paid back from yisomim is because they're not b'nei mitzvah, how's he allowed to do this? He's an adam gadol. He should know better. The children are not chayiv in this mitzvah. You're not allowed to force them to do this mitzvah. So yes, you're owed the money, but that's not something that you're able to take the law into your own hands about. They're not chayiv in the mitzvah. So that's the raya. Tos says it must be that he's holding like the other shita, like Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, that it's not about whether they're chayiv in mitzvahs or not. Paying back money that you owe, forget about the mitzvah shavo. You just have to make sure all the money gets to the right place, just for the yashrus shavo. So it's not about the mitzvah. It's simply about the concern that maybe you were already paid back, and there's no such concern when you know that you aren't already paid back. So that was his migo, that was his logic. So Abaye was having this conversation with Rav Bar Sharsha. Abaye says, so tell me, why is it that you're using this property, that there's a kol that it belongs to Yisomim? And he says, oh, it's because I took it as a mashkan originally, and the father owed me other money, so even though the mashkanta desura was over already, I kept it to pay back the other money. So Abaye says, Rav Bar Sharshum, it's not true. Look, your analysis is incorrect. What, you would have come and you would have said, your whole logic to be believed over here is migo, that you could have said that you bought it? You never could have said that you bought it. Because there's a kol that belongs to Yisomim, and that your only connection to it is as a mashkon. So you would not be believed with a migo that there was another chov that the father owed you. So the time of the mashkon is over, and therefore you need to return it to Yisomim. Your whole presumed migo is completely incorrect. Meaning the reason that the Rashbam points out, the reason the Cheskas Gimel Shanim works in place of Ishtar was because if it were not true and the field did not belong to you, the Baal HaSadda should have made a macha'a against your chazaka. And when 3 years pass and he didn't make a macha'a, so the Keach no longer has to watch over the Shtar. But over here there was a kol that the karka didn't belong to Rav Bar Sharshum, and that kol replaces a macha'a. It's just as good as a macha'a. Meaning, what's the point of a macha'a? The point of a macha'a is to tell you, don't lose this shtar. There's a lack of clarity about the ownership of the land. So if you are the owner of the land, do not lose the shtar. So once that machal is made, you must have that shtar. If you don't have that shtar, you could be there for 10 years. It doesn't make a difference. Once a machal is made, you're forewarned. Don't lose the shtar, because there's a lack of clarity about who owns it. So says the Rashbam, if there's a call that goes out that it's not yours, that's a message of equal effectiveness. Do not lose the shtar. It's not clear who this land belongs to. So you need to hang on to your shtar. So you never would have been believed. I don't care how many years of chazaka you have. Elazila hadrana alayu. So therefore, here's what you got to do. Give back the land. And I, what about the chov that the father owes you from summer? The chigad liyasmi, yishtayidina ba'adayu. You'll take him to Udin Torah when they become... when they become older, you'll have a shtar chov, presumably, on that other chov that says that they owe you money. You can't use it now because they're little kids. You'll wait till they get older, and you'll take out that shtar chov. The Rashbam writes, it could be that even if he doesn't have a shtar on that second halva'a, he'd be able to collect it from Yisomim, assuming like a shita of Rav Papa that we're finding Daphne and Beis, that a milval peh could collect from Yisomim if there were aidim to the halva'a, and he takes a shvua that he has hasn't yet gotten paid back. However, the Rov Rishonim say, no, it must be that he had a shtar. That's the simplest way. That he was owed money, the second chov, he had a shtar that said he was owed money, but it's just that shtar is useless as long as they're kids. Kids can't take out a shtar chov to get paid from Yisomim, so he's got to wait till they become gedolim. So that was the way that this story was resolved. So now the Gemara brings another story relating to Yerusha. Kreved Ravidi Baravin Shachiv Vishavak Dikla. A relative of Ravidi Baravin had died, and he had left a dekel tree as a Yerusha, and there was a machlokas between Ravidi Baravin with another one of the relatives, who is the Karov that really deserves to Yarshin this tree. Tosos quotes that some have a girsa. Tosos Dibra Maskel Kreve over here quotes that there's a girsa, Shavak Dikla Le Kreve, that he was mitzavah before he died to give this to his karov. So you have to say that he had children who could yarshin him, and that's why he had to say, I want this to go to another relative, because otherwise it would have just gone to his children. But he was saying that, yes, most of my estate is going to go to my children, but there is this one dekel tree that I, for whatever reason, that he wanted to leave to some other, a nephew, a cousin, some other relative that he wanted to leave this one dekel tree to. So that's how Tosas understands. The Ramban says that even according to this Girsa, it could be that the Karov that he's talking about was the Karov who's Ro'iliyarsha, when he didn't have any children, and it wasn't B'Derech Matana. Because if he wanted to give it as a Derech Matana and not be Yerusha, even if you bring, if the person would bring Edim, that he's the greater Karov than Ravidi Baravin, the Dekel would still go to Ravidi, because even if the other guy's a greater Karov, Ravidi is both a Karov and a Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara Ksuba says that if a person says before he dies to give a Matana to Tovia, and there are two people by that name, one of them is a Talmud Chacham, one of them is a Karov, the Talmud Chacham is Kodem L'Matana. We assume that he intends to give it to the Talmud Chacham. So that's what the Ramban says. It must be that there's a Yerusha Inyan over here. It's a question of what the Dine Yerusha are, because if it was a Matana issue, then it wouldn't matter who's the bigger Karov. Whoever the bigger Talmud Chacham is would be the one to get it. So anyways, that's the Machlokas Tosfos and the Ramban, where Tosfos says that we're not talking about Dine Yerusha over here. The Yerusha goes to his children. This is something outside of Yerusha that he wants to give to a different relative, and we just need to figure out which is the closest relative. And the Ramban says that no, we're talking about Dine Yerusha over here. He didn't have children, and we have to figure out who the closest relative is as far as Yerusha is concerned, because had it been a Matana outside of Dine Yerusha, it would just go to the biggest Talmud Chacham. So anyway, so the story was, Ravi Divar Ravin Amar, Anok Rivna Tvei. He said, I am the closer relative. V'u Gavra Amar, and the other guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. Anok Rivna Tvei. I am the closer relative. And we didn't know who the closer relative is. I don't know how we don't know that. I don't know if we were unclear on some halacha about closeness of relatives, or we were unclear on the metzias and who's my, you know, sometimes people try to explain to you how they're related and you get lost, so maybe the base, I'm not following, who exactly is who over here. So whatever it was, we weren't sure who was the closer relative. Now the halacha is, if you're not sure about such a case, we say the principle of kol da'alim gavar, which we're going to have later in this perek, that whoever is stronger is going to be the one that takes it, and he's going to be the one that, so the other karov was the one that was alim, he was the one that overpowered, and he took the dekel. So the sof, after a year or two, Odile diu karov tvei. The other relative says, you know, I feel bad about this. I've had this dekel for a couple of years because I beat you up and I took it in accordance with the halacha of kol dalim gavar, whether that actually means that or not, whatever kol dalim gavar means, we'll get to a different time, but I took this, it really belongs to you, I feel bad. So ukmar of chista biyade, so if chista gave awarded the tree to Ravidi Baravin, because he was the real karov yoser. So amalei Ravidi said to Rav Chista, very nice that you gave me back the tree, lahadli piri dachal meil yoma ad hashta, I would also like the peiros that this tree produced over the last couple of years, where this guy who had no right to the tree was using it and was benefiting from all those payrolls. So Amar, so Rav Chista says, Rav Yidi Bar Avin, wow, Zeh Shomer Lav Adam Gadol, this is the guy that they say that he's an Adam Gadol, that he knows Dinim, he knows the Halacha. What a ridiculous taina. Aman Kasamach Mar, who is he being somech on in his right to get back the tree right now? Aha, it's only on the word of the Karov, who admitted that he was not the closest Karov. He admitted that Rav Yidi was the closer Karov. Well, Hakamar Tana Makrev Netzvei, that same person up until this point was saying that he was the closer Karov and therefore he had every right to the tree. So since it was a Suffolk, he was allowed to eat the payrolls during this period of time because of the din of Kalda Olam Gavar. Now he's Moda, that Rav Yidi is the greater Karov, that's a Matana that he's giving to Rav Yidi. Meaning it doesn't mean that the MS is that the whole time I was the greater Karov. It means that I don't want, strife in the family anymore. A lot of times, you know, in the aftermath of a death, there's fights in the family about Yerusha, and then years later, people realize, what do? We destroyed our whole family over a few $1,000 or whatever, you know, or even a few $1,000,000, but we destroyed our whole family, and no one talks to each other, and it's not worth it anymore. So he decided he was going to make amends, and he says, I'm going to give you the matana. But he wasn't really being moda that it was yours the whole time. That's just what people do sometimes, that they'll give it as a matana. That's how the Rashbam understands. Tosfos explains that once he was moda, he was along with that hoda'a was a taina that he didn't eat any peros up until this point. And Rav Yidi thought that he did eat peros. So Rav Chista says, I'm going to believe him with amigo that he didn't eat because he never had to be moda. If he wanted to keep it, he could have just never been moda in the first place. Okay, because otherwise it's hard to understand Rav Chista's taina. Rav Chista's taina is, you're only trusting his word that you were the owner, so he was entitled to the payrolls until now. No, but if I trust his word that I'm the owner, I was entitled to the payrolls until now. So you either go with Rashbam that we're not really trusting his word, he's just giving you a matana, or with Tosos, we're trusting his word that you're the rightful owner, but at the same time we're trusting his word that he didn't eat any payrolls from this property. So one way or the other, that's how Rav Chista rejected Rav Yidi Bar Avin. Now it's an interesting discussion that Tosfos assumes over here, based on the Gemara later on, that if one of them was a bigger Talmud Chacham, and we're not dealing with Dina Yerusha, the Ramban assumes, if we were not dealing with Dina Yerusha, and one of them is a bigger Talmud Chacham, then it would go to the bigger Talmud Chacham. There's a tshuva in Tshuvas Betzalel Chacham, or Betzalel Stern, it discusses that there was an Ish Chassid who comes from Geza, of Tzadikim, of Forsamim, of big Chassidish Rebbes, Polish Hasidic Rebbes from hundreds of years already, and they have all sorts of children, grandchildren, Rebbes all over the place who are Tamid Chacham and Oskim and all sorts of things. And this man left died, and he left a certain amount of money to his grandsons. So they didn't know, but he didn't identify which grandsons. And he's got, you know, as Rebbes often have, he's got lots and lots of grandsons. They didn't know, should they dafka only give it to the Rebbes? Should they only give it to the people that are learning all day? He's got grandchildren doing everything, right? So should they, what can we assume that he meant? So at first he quotes the Gemara in Ksubas that a person who's mitzavah to be Morish Nechasav to someone named Tovia, the Gemara we quoted before, and after he dies you see that there are two people with that name and they both claim to be the rightful heirs. So the Gemara says that if they're both Krovim, we should take the Talmud Chacham over the other one in receipt of the Yerusha. And Rashi writes, because Mistama, when a person's dying, he's trying to be Matzdik as Maisav, and one of the things to support Tamid Chachamim, so that's something that probably he wanted to do on his deathbed. So therefore, maybe you should give to the Tamid Chachamim. So then Rabbi Zal Stern says, okay, so now we have to define who's the Talmud Chacham. Is it only the people that are sitting and learning all day? Is it only the people that are the Rebbes that are Tamid Chacham? He says, Halacha Mufreshes and Shulchan Aruch, not that way. The Halacha and Shulchan Aruch is that if a person works to the point that he's able to support himself, but not for any mosaros, and then he learns the rest of the time, that's also a Talmud Chacham. So that way that person would qualify as well. So those are the grandchildren we should look for, and everybody else is out. But then he says, no, that's all wrong. That's all wrong. He says, that's working with the assumption that he wanted to give to one person, and we have to figure out who that one person is, like the case in our Gemara. He quotes a Ramban To this effect, that if you have to figure out who the one person is, so then you're going to figure out who's the Talmud Chacham. But over here, he's giving to his grandchildren. So it's not one person. It's clearly not one person. It's a question of, is it everybody? So everyone's going to get a nickel? Or is it like, just a few people and they're going to get a more substantial amount of money? So, okay, so then probably it's everybody if he was trying to give to all of his grandchildren. He probably didn't want to put names in the will, because probably they kept on having new ones being born all the time. So he's going to put names. He's going to leave all the new ones off, and or it's hard for him to remember the names of all the grandchildren. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of people like that. You tell them to name all the grandchildren. Not so easy, Baruch Hashem. Sometimes, okay. So that's why he just said his grandchildren, that it's supposed to be split evenly among all of them. Anyway, weiter in the Gemara now. So Gemara brings those who disagree with Rav Chista. Abaye Rava lo sviru lehu had Rav Chista. Abaye and Rava did not agree with Rav Chista's analysis of the case. Kivan to Odi, Odi. Once this guy was Modi, the Rav Edi was the rightful heir, so it turned out that this other fellow who had taken the tree up until this point had done so against the halacha, and therefore he has to pay all the payros that he owes up until this point. Probably what Rav Edi assumed and what we would have assumed had Rav Chista not been Mechadesh, said, oh, because it's all on his word that you're taking it back, you have to trust him about that he was either allowed to eat the peros or that he hadn't eaten any peros. No, you don't have to trust him about anything. He lied for 2 years. You don't get rewarded for lying for 2 years. So you get back the peros as well. So now the Gemara goes back to discussions relating to chazakos on karka. So ze omer shalavosai. One guy says this karka belonged to my forefathers. Ze omer shalavosai. And the other one says that the karka was my forefathers, not yours. So hayat isadi davasehu. One of them brought Aden that the karka belonged to his father. Vayat isadi dochel shnei chazaka. The other guy didn't bring Edim that it belonged to his father, but he brought Edim that he had a chazaka on it. Now the Rashbam adds an important detail over here, that the one who brought Edim that it belonged to his father, those Edim also testified that the father never sold the karka to the other guy's father. Because if it's possible that he sold the karka to the other guy's father, then it's not a stira. He says it belonged to my father. The other one says, well, I have a chazaka in it, and it belonged to my father. So he would say, oh, okay, I could explain how you have a chazaka. His father sold to your father, you yarshined it, and now you have a chazaka in it. So it must be that the edus was that it was never sold. It belonged to Reuven's father, and Shimon's father never bought it. So Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista said, the one that has edim that he has a chazaka is going to be zocha in this karka, because we believe him that it belonged to his father, because malo l'shaker, ibayu amalei, minach zvinta v'achalte shnei chazaka. If he wanted, he could have tied it. Yes, it belonged to your father, you yarshined it, and then I bought it from you. And where's my shtar? I have a chazaka. I've been here for 3 years. So he could have said that. And because he didn't say that, we believe him that it belonged to his own father with amigo that he could have said that. And Abai and Rava reject that. So this is a second time in a row where Abai and Rava reject the Psak of Rav Chista. Why do they reject this Psak of Rav Chista? Because yes, he has amigo, but the other fellow has Edim. And we don't say Mali the Shaker. We don't say amigo when it's against Edim. The Rashbam explains that since the Edim are made the opposite of what this guy is tithing, so he's definitely a liar and he's not Neman, even with amigo, even though he has a cheska shalosh adim, that chazaka doesn't work at all, because it's a chazaka sheni mataina, because he's tainaing, meaning the taina that he has, we know is false, meaning the taina that he has is that it belonged to his father, we know it's not true, there are edim that belong to the other guy's father, so you're not going to say that he's neman with amigo when we know that his taina is false to begin with. Okay, another maisa related to chazaka. Someone said to his friend, what are you doing in my karka? This karka clearly belongs to me, and the ma'arer had edim that the karka belonged to him, otherwise we would just give it to the machzik, even without edim that it was for gimel shanim. The Rishonim point out, so he says, okay, what are you doing in my land? So Amalei, the machzik says to the ma'arer, minach zavni v'achalti yashnei chazaka. What do you mean, your land? I bought it from you, and I have a chazaka on it already. So Azalaiti sadi da'achlota tartishnei. So he said, yeah, I want to see evidence that you have a chazaka in this. And he was only able to produce Edom that said that he had 2 years of residence in the land, not 3 years of the residence in the land. So while he claims he has a chazaka, he doesn't. He only has Edom for 2 years. So I'm Rav Nachman, Hadra Arav, Hadra Piri. Rav Nachman says you got to give back the land to the person who originally owned it, and you have to pay the payroll, meaning you are your own undoing. By bringing Edom that you were living there for 2 years, now we know that you've been enjoying 2 years of payrolls off of somebody else's land. Had you been able to bring Edom that you were there for 3 years, we'd give you the land, no questions asked, it would belong to you. Now you have Edom that you were there for 2 years, all that does is it tells us that you were stealing for 2 years, and for 2 years you were eating stuff that doesn't belong to you. If he didn't have Edom that he was ochel payrolls, even though he was moda that he ate 3 years of payrolls, but al pita anaso, it's 3 years of payrolls, but it's 3 years of his own payrolls because it's really his. So the karka would go back because he has no shtar and he has no chazaka, but the payrolls, he'd be able to take a shvos hesis that he purchased that from the bailim and that he would be potter because he'd be neman with amigo that he could have said that I didn't need any payrolls at all from this karka. That's how the Rashbam writes. So anyway, so because he has two years of edim that he was being ochel the payrolls, he has to pay back the payrolls. So Rav Zvid discusses what if the taina would have been a little different. Amar Rav Zvid imtan va'amar the payrolls yiradati ne'man, that if originally when the bal karka was toveya him, what are you doing in my karka? If he would have responded, well, I came to this karka for the payrolls because you sold me the rights to the payrolls for X number of years, had he had the presence of mind to make such a taina, he'd be ne'man and he wouldn't have to pay back the dmei payrolls, because we assume that a person would not have the chutzpah to go into someone else's karka and eat the payrolls unless there was already some sort of deal in place that's what he was supposed to be allowed, that's what he was supposed to be doing. So therefore, Rav Zvid says, it's true, the din that we said is true, that if he claims that he was the owner and he only has 2 years of evidence that he's been living there, he owes the payrolls. But had he been smarter, he could have claimed that he simply purchased the rights to the payrolls and that he had never really purchased the property, and then he would not need to pay back the payrolls. So Rav Zvid says, and I'll bring you a raya. Lav miyam Rav Yehuda, after all, didn't Rav Yehuda say, Haiman denokat magla visuvalia va'amar ezil igdere ledikle deplanya dezabnin ale mehemin, that if you see a person take a magal and suvlaya, which are instruments that you would use, kalim that you would use to pick dates off of a very tall tree. Date trees, palm trees are very, very tall, so you need special, you can't just, like an apple tree, just, you know, reach up and pick an apple off. It takes certain types of kalim that you use. So if a guy is taking these things and he says, I'm going to go to this to a particular dekel because this guy sold me the rights to this dekel, he's neman, and we allow him to go and to pick the fruits off of that tree. Why? The reason is, in fact, some have a girsa over here. The Rif has girsa my taima instead of alma. My taima. Why do we believe him? Lo chatz finished gazar dikla to lavdi day. Who would have the chutzpah to go pick payrolls off of a dekel tree that doesn't belong to him? It must be it does belong to him, and he purchased the rights to this dekel tree. So achadami over here also, by a person who's been eating the payrolls off of this karka for 2 years, if he just would have taina that he purchased the rights to these payrolls, we'd believe him because of the chazaka of lo chatzavinish lemechel piri de lavdilei, that a person wouldn't have the chutzpah to eat payrolls that belong to belong to somebody else. So I asked the Gemara, if that's true, that we're going to believe this guy, that he was kona the zuchus achilas peiros because a person would never have the chutzpah to do this shalokadin, well, aranami, even if he ate the peiros since he was kona the karka, we should believe him for that same reason. Otherwise, he would never have had the chutzpah to go and eat the peiros begezel. So if the din is that he's not neman unless he brings aid, but the halach is not that way. The halach is on the karka. We don't believe. We don't say, oh, look, who goes into someone else's property and claims that it's theirs? What do you mean, who does it? None of them do it. So he's doing it. Unless you could bring a raya that you were there for 3 years. Unless you have edim that you were there for 3 years, we don't believe you. So why is it that we have such a chazaka? Oh, no one would eat the payros off of someone else's karka. How come there's no chazaka? No one would take the karka off of someone else's karka. No one would ever just go in someone else's karka. When it comes to the karka, there's a major reyesa on the taina, because we could tell him, if you really bought this karka, show us the shtar mechira. You don't have a shtar, so maybe you're not going to be believed. Even though lefita anaso, he's saying that I was already here for 3 years, and therefore that's why I don't have the shtar. But we don't believe you. You don't have edim that you were there for 3 years. And until you, meaning the requirement to hang on to your shtar after is it doesn't go away after 3 years. It goes away once you're able to prove that you've been there for 3 years. If you know that you don't have the ability to prove that you've been there for 3 years, well then you have every requirement to hold on to your shtar. You can't just get rid of your shtar. So frekta gemara ihachi pirinami. If that's the case, even when he tainas that he had purchased the karka, that he had purchased the peros, so we should require him to show the shtar kinyan on the peros as well. Meaning, if the whole reason he's not believed to say that he has the land is because, hey, where's your shtar if you really bought the land? Well, he's claiming he bought the peros. Where's your shtar that you bought the peros? I don't see any shtar about that either. So says Gemara, well, shtar of the peros of it inish. It's not the normal thing to write a shtar on a mechira of peros. And therefore, the fact that he doesn't have a shtar on karka is a raya that he's a liar and that it's not really his. But the fact that he doesn't have a shtar on peros is not a reyusa against his taina. And we have a chazaka that he wouldn't be going into someone else's property and eating the peros. And therefore, we have every right to assume that the peros, in fact, belong to him. Another maaser relating to chazaka on karka. We'll at least get started on this. Hu damar lechavre, my bayis bai ara. Someone said to his friend, what are you doing in my karka? Samalei, minachs vint, v'achalt shnei chazaka. I bought this karka from you, and I have a chazaka. So aisi chad sada da'achla tlash shnei. He brought one witness that says that he's been in this karka for 3 years. He couldn't find the second witness, meaning his next door neighbor was just that. It was one person. It was the next door neighbor. So the next door neighbor said, yeah, I've seen him in this karka for the last 3 years. But he couldn't find the second person to verify that he had been in this karka for 3 years. So Sav Rabban Kameda Abaye the Meimar, so the Rabban wanted to say in front of Abaye, Hainu Naskad Rabbi Abba. This case is very similar to the case of Naskad Rabbi Abba, which we're about to see what that is. Now, it does not mean that we could learn the din over here from the din that's paskud by Naskad Rabbi Abba, because he doesn't have two edim that he was machzik in the karka for 3 years, so it's not a chazaka, and he has to return the karka. What the Gemara is saying is that the dinim are similar in that not that I learn one from the other, but that the bottom line halacha is going to be similar from one to the other. So what's the case of Naskad Rabbi Abba? Do gavra dechat of naska mechavre? A person took a piece of silver from somebody else. Asal kamed Rabbi Ami, the guy who the silver was taken from, sued him, brought him to a din Torah in front of Rabbi Ami. Have Yosef Rabbi Abba kameh, and Rabbi Abba was sitting there in the room, in the din Torah, in the courtroom. So I see chad sahada demichtav chad famine. The nigzal brought one aid that the other fellow took the piece of silver from him. So Amalei, the person who took it, said to Rabbi Ami, I know that there's an aid that I grabbed it from him, because it's true, I did grab it from him. Chatvi, v'didi chatvi, but you should know, I grabbed it because it was mine. You didn't see what happened 10 minutes before that, when he took it away from me. So I grabbed it back from him, it was mine. So Rabbi Ami, heichin yiduni dayni la'idina. So Rabbi Ami said, uh-oh, what do we do in such a din Torah? Meaning, if there were two edim that were made that he grabbed it from him, he'd have to pay based on that edus. So a person cannot, meaning if there are two edim that say that Reuven stole something from Shimon, you can't say, Reuven will say, yeah, it was mine. That doesn't work. There are two edim that you took something from Shimon. If we saw Shimon was muchzik in it, and you took it from him, so it's not yours. You owe Shimon the money. So had there been two edim, person cannot be chotif something from someone else and claim that it was actually his. Had there been zero edim, and it's just that the chotif himself, the guy who grabbed him himself, is being modeh, yes, I took it, but I took it because it was mine, he would be neman. Because he could have just said that, he could have said that he didn't take it at all. And even if there was one echad, one aid that was made on the chatifa, but the chotev said, lo chatafti, he'd be neman with a shavua. Because when you have an aid echad connector, you take a shavua. Problem is, over here you have none of those things. You don't have two Edom against him, you don't have zero Edom against him, and you have one Edom, but it's not against him. The one Edom is saying that he grabbed it, and he's being molda that he grabbed it. So he says, Oyvei, heichin nidayni dayone, lahay dina. What are dayonim supposed to do with such a din Torah? So what are our options? Lishlam, should we be mechayiv the chotev to pay for this nascha, because he was molda that he was chotev, he was molda that he took it, even though he's claiming that it was actually his, so we'll give the money back lechaskaso? No, we can't. Aleka treisadi, because you don't have two witnesses that he actually taken it. Lift array, should we just potter him? Well, you can't do that either, because ika chatzada. There's one witness that he actually took it, so you can't believe him with a migo that he could have kept his mouth shut and nothing would have happened, because you have one witness that says that he did take it. Lishtava, you want to make him take a shavua that he didn't grab it, and therefore he's going to be good? Ha'amar miktav chatfa, v'kimitav chatfa v'le gazlan. He admitted that he did take it. So this is the pickle that we find ourselves in. This is the predicament. From tomorrow, we'll pick up with that case, and we'll find enough to say on the 12 lines of Gemara in tomorrow's daf. Okay, have a great day, everybody.